And of course, all bear these words in mind. The time is now. The time is now. And as I go through this message, I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. Just as an opening statement here, let me share a few words before we get into our text in the Bible. As time, which has no borders, no ceiling, or limits of any sort, quietly does its best work of uninterrupted continuance, it presents us now and then golden opportunities to triumph, may I say, in its unique moments presented to us by its ceaseless passing. Our current atmosphere here in our own USA, in other words, current atmosphere of what? The coronavirus that we're still dealing with, that's wreaked havoc in different ways. Our protesting, peaceful protest, but that does not limit it to peaceful protests. If you and I have watched rioting and looting and the such like. And we also have this current atmosphere of political divisiveness. And these have presented to us a unique moment in time for all, especially today, for us fathers, to rise to the occasion. It is in periods of distress, and may I say, even in periods of great distress, where the real men of God rise up to the occasion. Let me repeat, it is in times of distress and in times of great distress where the real, authenticated, genuine men and women of God stand up and rise to meet the opportunity face to face. It's no time to flee. You know, human nature has this thing about it, and it is that it wants to flee. It wants to disappear when the heat is turned up. I'm here to say when the heat is turned up, the tough in Christ get going. Fathers and grandfathers, I'm here to tell you the time is now. In our current atmosphere, dealing with all we're dealing with, perhaps unprecedented time when you take in the whole of the matter for all of us here, from the oldest to the youngest, presenting a time and opportunity we've never had. And I have a fear this morning, and a concern, and that is that many of us fathers have our heads in the sand. We have our heads in the sand and aren't really taking in the moment of what's going on and seizing the golden opportunity to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because there's no question, we live in a very unique time now. My question to us fathers and grandfathers, what will we do with it? What will we do with it? 20 years from now, will we look back and say, why did I miss the opportunity? Why didn't I seize the moment to be all that I could be for Jesus Christ? Fathers and grandfathers, I'm here to tell you and myself as a father of four, the hour has come to stand up. The hour has come to stand up for Jesus Christ, wipe away any shame of the gospel that we've been carrying along, stop listening to the rhetoric in this world and start listening to the Word of God and acting and behaving like men of God. The hour has come, fathers and grandfathers, to make a difference in our community, in our state, and in our country. Consider Esther, if you would, with me, for a moment. If you have studied the book of Esther, you know there was a unique moment in time because the Jews were wanting to be exterminated, right? Haman, wicked Haman, wanted to exterminate the Jewish nation. Of course, Mordecai, as a wise man who took Esther and raised her up because she had not father and mother and took her as an own daughter, told her that, you know, Esther, if you don't stand up in this moment, God's going to deliver his people, but you and your household are going to be destroyed. He knew because he was wise and it seems in touch with the living God that, listen, Esther, if you don't speak out in this moment of time, if you don't act prudently, God will raise up somebody else to deliver the nation of Israel, but you and your household are going to vanish. But you know, because Esther was nervous and she took took the words to Mordecai, whom she was trained by and grew up in his home and listened to, and said, listen, there's nobody that can go into the presence of the king unless they're invited. And Mordecai, of course, responds back to Esther, telling her of the importance of the time, and shares words similar to these. Perhaps God has brought you at such a time. And you know, Esther maybe was there at such a time, planted by God to be a vessel to deliver the nation of Israel from extermination. And Esther got that word back from Mordecai, and she responded back to her father, if you will, fast for me 3 days. Get all the Jews together and fast. I'm calling a fast night and day. No eating and drinking night and day and fast. And me and my maidens will fast. And of course, through prayer and fasting, God delivered. Haman's plot to destroy the Jews was unearthed, if you will. God himself hanged, and the Jews were delivered because she seized the moment. There was a moment in time, and it was so critical. And Esther took advantage of it. I'd like you to turn, if you could, to the book of Romans, chapter 13. And I'd like to read several words there. And I, yes, preach, but I'm also going to teach, because there's a difference between preaching and there's a difference between teaching. Preaching is proclaiming. Some people get loud, some aren't so loud. But preaching is a proclamation, but teaching is an instructing. It's a dissecting, if you will, of the word in the text. And so as we preach, I would like to also teach the Bible to you this morning, specifically fathers and grandfathers. Let us read, if you would, Romans 13. If you would take your eyes to verse 11, I'd like to read from there to the end of the chapter, verse 14. Again, Romans 13, 11 to 14. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He wrote this letter to the church at Rome, and he said, and that, knowing the time, understanding the time, that now it is high time. That word high time means the hour of time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed, or first believed, we could say, as Christians. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, decorously, you could say, as in the day. Not in rioting or carousing and drunkenness. Not in chambering, sexual immorality and wantonness, which means licentiousness, sensual living. Not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm going to stop right there. And I want you to just remember some key words here. You know, when a minister administers the word, we can't remember everything that's said. But I want to give you some key words this morning. And that is this, and that, knowing the time. You want to remember some key words from our passage this morning? Remember these words, and that, knowing the time. Understanding the season, understanding the opportunity that is before us to make a difference. Let us take these words and remember them, knowing the time, because I'm telling you, we are in a time. If these three words are ever to be held on to, it is now. I believe it with all my heart. Our nation is being torn at its very fabrics. We are on the verge of collapse. People may think, nah, we have some serious issues ahead of us, and we need to understand the season and the time that we're in as Christians and not miss the opportunities. All, and I mean all here present and listening, specifically fathers and grandfathers, and from here on out, I'll only use the word fathers if I use it again. We need revival. We need revival to both survive and thrive in our moment. I'm here to tell you, we have a moment in time. This is our moment. This is our virus. This is our political divisiveness. This is our country that is being torn at its very fabric and heart. And we need revival to survive. But not just survive, but thrive in this our moment. Let me expound, if I could, briefly upon revival. What am I talking about? I'll talk about it in context first. Those of you that like word studies, as you know, I've shared, I personally do, though I don't understand every word perfectly. But R-E means again in the English language. And when we talk about vival, the last part of it, that is referring to live. So revival means simply this: live again, live again, live again. We need a revival. We need a spiritual awakening again. We need a refreshment from the Holy Spirit, a fresh vigor, a fresh vision, a fresh burden from the Lord. And I'm here to say, and it's devastating, how many churches gather together, and they will today, but they'll gather together and there'll be no anointing of the Holy Ghost. There'll be no conviction of sin. It'll be going through the motions, going through tradition. I'm here to say we would be far better off to cast off all traditions and allow the Holy Spirit to have His way than to go through all traditions, though they be perfectly done, and the Holy Ghost is absent from our midst, from our gathering. We need a revival in the love for the Word of God. We need a revival for prayer. We need a revival for Holy Spirit living and the such like. Because this is our moment. And in our moment, the only way we're going to survive and thrive, because we're not called to just survive. Some people are like, as long as I survive, I'm okay, you know? No, that's half of it. We need to survive the moment. But God calls us to do much more than survive. He calls us to thrive. And I believe in that. To prosper, to advance, to go forward in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our scripture passage, by the way, instructs us to a place of both survival and revival. And I want to take time to consider its directives. When I talk about the word directive, as you study that word, directive means it has a voice of authority. When you give a directive, it's not just a suggestion, it has authority. It is a directive of authority. And listen, we can base the scriptures on a voice of authority because this is God breathed. God has breathed the scriptures. This is divine authority. And as we place our heart in it and upon it, we will prosper. We will survive our moment and thrive in our moment. Let us consider the passage I want to give you here briefly. Don't be discouraged by this number, because I can get through it as the Lord wills smoothly. But I want to give you 7 points just from these few verses from 11 to 14. I'm going to give you 7 points that lead us to a moment in time of surviving and thriving. All, of course, but as I share my burden, particularly with the fathers today. Let us consider the text. If you'll go back to verse 11, as we look at its directives, let us come to understand how we can survive and thrive. Number one, it gets back to these words I told you to remember: knowing the time. And that knowing the time, what does knowing the time mean, by the way? Well, as I alluded to earlier, it means to understand the moment or the occasion. Knowing the time is understanding the moment we have or the occasion that is before us. We have a very unique occasion and opportunity before us where we have people living in fear, living in panic, living in anxiety, where we're watching things happen that have never perhaps been seen in our day. Seattle, we watch a section of the city literally taken over in our own country, and the law enforcement is doing nothing yet. Have we ever seen anything like it? I don't know that I have. But yet, Many, I'm afraid, are missing the moment and the occasion. Consider Asaph, if you would, for a moment, from Psalm 73. Asaph, he envied the wicked. He was envying the prosperity of the wicked before them. They were prospering with money and in the things of life, and he envied them. And he didn't have a right understanding and concept, biblically based, until it says in Psalm 73, 16 and 17, until he went into the sanctuary, and then he understood the end of the wicked. What does that mean? He understood their final lot in life, that their feet were not going to be, it may say there that their feet were placed perhaps in slippery places. He realized that their feet will not always stand. But for a moment, he didn't understand the moment or the occasion. Why are the wicked prospering? And why am I, you know, perhaps being chastened or whatever was going all on in his life there that he was expressing to God? Consider Esther again. Back to Esther, if you would, a moment. Esther, she finally came through the instruction of Mordecai, that father in her life who encouraged her and said, Esther, you know, if you're not going to stand up in this moment, God's going to deliver his people, but you and your household will be destroyed. And it was after that wisdom from Mordecai that she said, fast for me 3 days. Get all the Jews together and call a fast, and me and my maids will fast. Listen to this. Understanding the moment or occasion before us to where our heads are not buried in the sand and missing the opportunity comes by prayer, it comes by fasting, and it comes by hearing and obeying the word of God. And those bring God's blessings. You know, I've had a burden on my heart. We've been for a month taking a month of prayer and fasting for elders and deacons. Why? Why? Because it's a serious matter. And I believe in serious matters and serious times we get serious with God. And Esther got serious with God. And Asaph got serious with God when he said, you know what? I need to get into the presence of God. I need to go into his presence and find out, I'm speaking for him, why I feel the way I feel. And it was at that moment of communion with God to where he understood the end of the wicked. And he was so foolish in his own eyes for speaking the way he spoke. But listen, prayer, fasting, and hearing and obeying the word of God bring God's blessings. And they bring an understanding to the moment or occasion that is before us. We're either going to react according to the principles of the words in this moment, or we're going to react as most of the world will react, and that's according to the flesh. Secondly, consider this, what Paul says here in Romans 13 is he is teaching us God's directives of how we can survive and prosper in our moment. He says another two words I want to emphasize here, and that is that now it is high time, he says, to awake out of sleep. High time means the very hour of opportunity, kind of similar to what we just said, you know, before, knowing the time, but they're actually different. Knowing the time is understanding the moment or occasion before us. High time is the very hour of opportunity. In other words, right now. Right now. When 3 o'clock is 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock is 3 o'clock because it's right now 3 o'clock. And we have this right now opportunity to do the will of God that may not be here tomorrow. In John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Consider verse 5. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. May I say, Jesus saying, as long as I am in the world, I am going to be the light of the world. I'm going to take opportunity. I'm going to seize the moment to do the will of the Father. Consider 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. Paul was speaking to the Corinth, and he said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Fathers, I'm telling us today that right now, if there's ever a time to say, you know what?
I'm going to start by the grace of God being a man of God. Being a man of God in my own strength? No. But I'm going to be wise like Asaph did. And I've been murmuring and complaining, and I've had my head in the sand, spiritually speaking. And you know what? I'm going to get into the presence of God. I'm going to get on my knees in prayer. I'm going to get back to the Bible. I'm going to engage my heart in God. And I'm going to be a man of God by the grace of God and seize the hour of opportunity to be all that I can be at this moment, because I'm here to tell you, we have opportunities to be witnesses for Jesus Christ to others like we've maybe never had before. What are we going to do with this moment? I know I don't want to look back in 20 years from now and say, what a waste of time, Craig. You wasted God's time. Don't waste the moment. High time, the hour of opportunity is before us. And we must seize this very hour. Prayer, fasting, and hearing and obeying the word of God bring an alertness to the very hour of opportunity. Thirdly, consider what Paul speaks here in this text as he's giving God's directives, his voice of authority of how we can both, may I say, survive and thrive in our very moment. The writer brings us to another aspect of truth, and that is where he says here that it is high time to awake out of sleep. We need to shake off the slumber in our life. Slumber means sleep. We need to shake off our spiritual grogginess. Are any of us here groggy spiritually? You know, when we get up in the morning and we've been in a deep sleep, physically speaking, and we get up, sometimes we may get up and we stumble around. I don't know, everybody's different. Or, you know, you got to kind of just sit up and hold on, because it's like things are fuzzy because, you know, the darkness or the sleep is passing and you're waking up and you're not very alert, and maybe your wife or husband says something and you're like, huh? And you don't know yet because, you know, your mind is still dull. You're transferring from sleep to alertness. Well, the Bible is calling us, not in that physical aspect, but in a spiritual aspect, to shake off our spiritual slumber. Shake off that spiritual sleeping. Consider, if you would, I don't know if it was Paul, it could have been, but another writer in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, when the writer goes on and exhorts his hearers there, by the way, that we're in a spiritual grogginess, because if you've studied the book of Hebrews, you'll understand that the writer was directing God's truth to a group of people that have put faith in Christ, but now we're turning back to the law and Judaism. Well, listen, trying to please God in our own strength will only make us tired. Well, he says, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, Hebrews 5, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, they're mature. Even those, here's the key, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I've raised 4 children in the process of it, Mary and I, not just me, my wife and I. But I've watched my children grow, physically speaking, because they went from milk to meat. But I believe they were able to advance to meat solid food because they took in the milk of the word. If our little babies and little children would have never taken in the milk naturally, perhaps they wouldn't be here today. But they advanced to meat because they loved milk. Listen, we need to get to the place, fathers, where we shake off our spiritual slumber. And when we get tired of ourselves saying, you know what? I'm tired of just coming Sunday morning and hearing the word of God and not feeding myself. I'm tired of just coming for that 30 minutes when Pastor Craig teaches. And you know what? I'm going to get in the word of God daily myself. I'm going to cut my teeth, if you will, on the word of God. I'm going to saturate my heart in prayer. I'm going to listen to God's directives. And by the grace of God, I'm going to obey. And we need to shake off that slumber. Listen, we're talking about how in this moment we can survive and thrive. Fathers, we got to shake off our spiritual slumber. Some of us are sleeping. You may say, Craig, what do you mean? I come to church every Sunday. I put money in the offering box. Listen, we can do that all day long and be sleeping spiritually. God would rather us
be penniless and full of the Spirit of God and full of the Word. I'm telling you, God would prefer that. Fourthly, we're looking at our text here, how we can survive and thrive. And the writer takes us to the last statement in verse 11. We're still in verse 11 of Hebrews 13. He says, "For now," again, do you see that word "now"? "Is our salvation nearer than when we believe?" The writer is saying our salvation, our rescue. Salvation means to be rescued. It means to be delivered. We could go on and say it means to be preserved. It's a part of the word salvation. But he's saying it is nearer now than when we first believed as Christians, when we initially first believed. Listen, our salvation truly as Christians is nearer than when we first believe. Consider the writer in Hebrews 9:27. He says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." That word "look for him," that phrase means to eagerly anticipate or await his coming. Father, some of us are so busy about making a living, so busy about trying to make more money and make more physical advancements that we have forgotten that the Lord's going to return a second time. We're so busy about just trying to survive life itself and make money and progress and build or whatever it may be, or just enjoy pleasures of life, and we've forgotten that the Lord's coming again. The Lord's going to return. And at the return of the Lord, all my riches, all my houses, all my things are going to be nothing. All that's going to matter at that time is, was I abiding in Christ? Was I living for the Lord? Was I doing the will of God? And part of the will of God as a father is to take care of my children, is to take care of my wife. I'm a big believer in that. I was taught many years ago, you know, you rise up, and you take responsibility. I believe in all that. But I'm here to tell you that physical things at the end of the day when the Lord returns isn't going to get us into heaven. It's going to be those who did the will of God. It's going to be those who were abiding in Christ, that were hungering and thirsting after the Word of God. I believe it with all of my soul. Why? Because God's directives cannot lie. They're solid. They're forever settled in heaven. Mark chapter 13, verse 37, Jesus says, "And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch, watch, be alert, be awake." Listen, fathers, the moment is here. We need to lift up our eyes, look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest, and seize the moment. How many fearful people passed our way, and we didn't take the opportunity to share with them how the Lord can infuse confidence in their soul. Fifthly, the writer continues to give us directives of how to survive and thrive what I call an our moment, because it is our moment in time, because time does a very good job of continually going on and very quietly at that. But we have our moment in this passing of time to survive and thrive, and the writer brings us to another directive here in verse 12. It is stated, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." How do I summarize all of that in point 5? And that is in this way: remembering I am a new creation. Remembering I'm not the same man I was. I'm not the same father or grandfather I was. I'm a new creation. Consider 2 Corinthians 5:17. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Consider 1 Corinthians 6:20, if you would. The Bible says, "For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You know, maybe we have been conducting ourselves as though I still lived in the former life before salvation. I want to say to fathers today, here in person and not, and to my own self, have we forgotten that we're a new creation in Christ, if we are a new creation in Christ. Remember, Paul told the Corinthian church, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. You know, today is a good day, fathers, for us to examine and know, yes, I'm in Christ and Christ is in me. I am His and He is mine. I am a new creation. The former things have been passed away. The new is behold, is before me. And that new before me leads us to the sixth point I'd like to share, that the writer is directing us in how to survive and thrive. And that is found in verse 13. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering, sexual immorality and wantonness, you know, sensual living, we could say, great sensual living, not in strife and envying. Our sixth directive here from the Lord, fathers, to survive and thrive is to walk, or in other words, to behave or conduct ourselves in a decorously way as a new creation, which means in the likeness of Jesus Christ. To behave ourselves wisely. Consider Galatians chapter 5, if you would, verses 22 and 23, because they lay out a very beautiful way for you and I to be clothed. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Let's pause a minute. As we walk, that word walk means to, you know, you walk about, you tread about at large. You go about life, you behave yourself, you conduct yourself. You're living in life, business, church, friends, family, relatives, wherever you go, that you and I are bearing forth this garment of the love of God. Joy in my heart, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, self-control, goodness, faith, faith in God. Consider the opposite, if you would. Let me give you a way not to be clothed, a way that I should not be clothed. Consider the very opposite. Galatians 5:19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, or we could say plainly revealed, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Isn't that quite a contrast to being clothed with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and on and on? We need to behave ourselves in that way. Seventhly, I want to give you one last final directive from this passage of Scripture, fathers, of how you and I can survive and thrive in our moment. And that is to put on, or may I say, be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting on, which means to be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what does that mean practically speaking? You know, I say that, but what does it practically mean? Well, let me give you the practicality of it from Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians 6:10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole, whole means all, the complete armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that you can stand, that you can take your place against the tricks and the deception of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole or complete armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, to oppose, to resist in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God wants us as Christian men, fathers, to take our place and to oppose and to contradict all the evil rest
rhetoric and all the evil out there by standing firm on our place and saying, I'm standing right here on the conviction of the Word of God, and I'm not going to move. And by holding on to the convictions of the Word here on this ground, I'm going to oppose and contradict all that is evil before me. So how do we do that? Verse 14, stand therefore, may I say, take your place as a soldier of Jesus Christ, having your loins girt about with truth, being girt about with the truth of God that's in Jesus Christ, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, being righteous, being justified, being right in the eyes of God by faith in Jesus Christ, and your feet shod. The word shod refers to sandals. With the preparation of the gospel of peace, having on your feet a readiness to tell another about Jesus. You know, part of our armory as a Christian that allows us to war against Satan, not be overcome, but overcome him, is to have our feet ready to tell another about Jesus. And I had that opportunity a couple times, very unique, as I met with a lady in Emory, a widow of about 6 years, dear lady, and went there to give her a pain estimate and met with her. And we talked, and I didn't know her from anybody, but afterwards, you know, she just had another TIA mini stroke. And you know, we talked, and I said, can I pray for you? And yes, I got to pray for her, and then I got to hand her a tract in the Lord. And you know, fathers, as we have our heads out of the sand and looking to the Lord, our feet will be ready to meet that need of that other person and give the gospel to them. That's part of our armory. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench or extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked. As I'm trusting in the Lord, we can't trust in our money. We can't trust in what we've done. We can't trust in any of our achievements. But as my ultimate trust is leaning on the Lord, God says, here, I'm going to give you an invisible shield. And you're going to be able to extinguish all the fiery darts that Satan brings your way. And I'm telling you what, in the ministry, I'm going to tell you what, Satan will send many fiery darts. Trust me, many. You don't have the shield of faith, you'll never stand. You'll never stand. That's why many ministers don't stand. I'm not putting them down, they don't. And if they still remain in the pulpits, they've lost the fire of God. They've been beat down by the pressures. They've been beat down by the voices. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Having the Word of God hid in my heart, memorizing it, reading it, so that in the moments of opportunity, the Holy Ghost comes along and brings that Scripture to my mind. And with the Spirit's help, I can use that Word at a needed time. Remember Jesus, after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights? I'm here to tell you physically, he was exhausted. He was worn out. He was susceptible to great temptation because he was weak. And by the way, Satan comes oftentimes and overcomes us at our very weakest moments. And he came to Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but proceeded out of the mouth of God. And he took him up, you know, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, if you will fall down and worship me, all that shall be thine. And Jesus said, it is written. And then he tempted him three times there. But how did Jesus resist those temptations? By the Word of God. And it says here, lastly, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Fathers, all, you've heard me say this, and by the grace of God, I'll say it to my dying breath. I don't want to ever be guilty of not having said it clear and very clear. Spirituality is dependent upon consistent prayer. I believe it with all my heart. We want to be spiritual fathers, grandfathers, men and women of God. It's going to become because you have developed a habit. You have developed a deep habit of prayer. Prayer brings revival. Fathers and grandfathers here and listening, I want to reiterate what I said earlier. Know the time. It is our time. It is high time to get out of spiritual sluggishness and do the will of God and make a difference in our age. Shall we pray?
Father, it is by your grace and your grace alone that I stand here and speak. Lord, this isn't just proper rhetoric, it is the absolute truth. Father, anything that has been accomplished through me, I just acknowledge that it is by your Spirit, and I pray that your Spirit and Word would do all that is needed today. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, and I deeply respect you. In Jesus' name, amen. As Tammy comes, and we're going to close here with a hymn briefly, I want to thank each and every one for being here. And fathers, I just ask of you one thing, if you would. Please take time to meditate on what we've heard today. Meditate, if you would.